listener production.
Okay, here we go.
He is ice cool in moments like this.
Oh, the big fella runs back into heavy traffic. Look at him go!
Footy Talk Journos Edition, back in the studio with Michael Chambers from the Sydney Morning Herald and sometimes Channel 9.
We're going to talk about David Fifita, what it means for the Panthers and Roosters. He might have signed by now, who knows, but we're going to talk about it.
Danny Wilder from Nine News and the Sun Herald.
We'll touch on the great Augustus Gould.
Oh, of course you are.
Your man. Footy Talk, Journos Edition, in the studio once again. Danny Wilder, who was here, award-winning episode last week by ourselves, because Michael Chambers was locked in the broom cupboard at Maroubra there by Blake Solly, the CEO of South.
We missed you, Chammy. Yeah.
He's finally got it. Danny gave you a lift. He went and picked you up this morning. It's all quiet at South again, but it's been a fair old week. Congratulations on the blow-by-blow. That's exactly what I wanted to read the day after about how it all went down. But it wasn't a case of decision made, you've typed it out, finished, home for dinner with the kids. What time do you get to bed that night?
About 2:30 in the morning.
2:30. That's above and beyond.
That's dedication.
Well, I should have had dinner with Danny Wilder, but he decided not to hang around.
No, you could have had breakfast with him.
I asked him. I said, let's do that.
I was up.
Yeah, that's true, actually. We could have done. Mate, I asked him, let's do that Uber thing. We'll hang out.
See, he's never used Uber Eats.
Well, look, I do use Uber Eats, but
I'm not Uber Eats for him.
It's more of an eastern suburbs thing. Like, you know.
Is it really?
You know,
it is an extraordinary thing that you're teaching him about technology yeah. given that you type your Sunday column out on what, Danny Wilder? You don't own a computer.
I don't own a computer. I write and I have written my column every week on my phone for a very long time.
That explains.
And send it by carrier pigeon?
I send it by email.
That explains the quality of writing.
Here I am saying how.
I'm saying it's good because it auto-corrects your mistakes.
It doesn't actually. And it's why my eyes are really bad. My eyes are getting worse.
You've got a laptop. Take it home with you. I've been to your desk numerous times when you're not there and I see your laptop there. Why do you leave your laptop at home in the office?
I don't want it.
Mm.
But if something breaks, you have to write.
I can do it on my phone.
After it got hacked by the Chinese a couple of years ago.
There's the Russians. Let's not go there.
But yeah, like,
the depths that you went to get that story, though. Not the
A lot
depth,
of us were there
the
from
detail.
The morning. I think we got there about 8:30 in the morning. Maybe you got there a bit earlier. And there was so much drama that unfolded that day. People leaving, Jason Demetrio, not knowing if he was coming back. I actually spoke to Jason while he was still at the club. It was about maybe 1 o'clock.
Mm.
And he picked up the phone. I said, have you still got a job? He said, as far as I know, I do. And he said, I'm about to come down now. I said, well, there are a lot of cameras down here, so be careful. Benny Hornby's backdoored it. So if you want to do the same, he said, nah, it's sweet. And he came down.
There's a bloke with a Channel 9 microphone lining you up.
I actually quickly ran it down and said, Danny, he's coming. Go get ready. So I gave him the tip. So your cameraman was first in position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then there were
Thanks board- for that, Chemmy.
No, you're welcome. So board members left, players left, and then there was a second board meeting called for that evening and that
Which
was done.
Which is bizarro. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah. It doesn't happen. And the reason was because Russell Crowe, his representatives on the board, were pushing for Jason Demetrio to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever reason that may have been, Russell Crowe told Jason Demetrio that he had his back and that he would have the ability to call the shots. As time went on and the second board meeting, which was done largely over a video call with a lot of the board members out of the building, it was clear that they were going to meet resistance from the other board members. They didn't have the numbers to push for Jason Demetrio to stay. And in a way, it highlighted a dilution of power from Russell Crowe at South Sydney. And
which is interesting going forward now.
Well, you're probably hearing the same thing, that Russell Crowe is behind the Wayne Bennett push. I'm convinced that Russell Crowe for some time has been speaking to Wayne Bennett about coming back to South Sydney. I said it on the podcast here last year. I think that has been bubbling along in the background just in case this didn't work out with Jason Demetrio. So I hung around at the end, hung around for a while, spoke to people at the club and went home at about 10:30, spoke to a lot more people on the phone.
God, who was still up?
It's the nature of the news cycle, right?
Yeah.
We all know at 7:30 that Jason Demetrio is sacked. We put out that story straight away. He's gone. Well, the next morning, the fans want to know what happened.
Oh, you want to know how it happened.
Yeah.
That's how people trying to understand the news cycle and what works these days. Like your article, Danny, on a Sunday morning is about how as much as it is what.
People want insight.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully. Insight. And hopefully we can give it to them. But Michael's story that next morning after it was a fantastic read because it had everything in it that I wanted to know as well. I didn't know about that message that went around. That was news to me, the text message.
Oh, the text message. Yeah, Adrian Brzenko actually did that.
Okay,
that
well, whoever that got was, it, that was
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
That was a really interesting read. And that, for me, that was almost the standout piece because I hadn't heard of that. And when I woke up the next day, when I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and read your story.
While I was going to bed.
It was yeah. really readable, yeah.
But you know what, that's the sort of stuff that you know, I enjoy yeah. doing because the change is very quickly. Like it's, everyone knows within 2 minutes of you breaking a story that Jason Demetriou has gone because everyone can write it pretty quickly and put it up.
Yeah. So Tammy, when you do a story like that and you wake up the next morning, all you want to know, all you're worried about, and we've all done long form, I'm doing a long form one in another sport at the moment with a lot of detail and a lot of information that people might not want out there or might not want to be in the public forum, that all you're concerned about is, geez, I hope I got my facts right here. Geez, I hope whatever I've been told is correct, because there's always that trepidation that your phone's going to call and you go, you idiot, that is so far from the truth.
Well.
But you didn't get one of those calls.
No, my immediate concern was helping my wife with school lunches that morning. So yeah, that was the first thing I did.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, you generally know if you don't get any calls of abuse, then you're okay.
Exactly.
And I didn't get I was more worried about Russell Crowe blowing up about some of the references in there.
You're having the armies from the Legion of the North or whatever it is come over the hill there out west and attack your house and blow it to smithereens.
Do you sleep well when you've done a big yarn? Like if there's a big yarn and it's like controversial or it's on edge or you know people could dispute it? How do you?
Yeah, I'm all right with that. I wake up straight, like I check things straight away though in the morning. like the other day, I wanted to check it, make sure there was. I turn my phone on airplane mode when I go to bed just to limit the distractions so there's no
same. Yep.
So when you turn it on and it just lights up in the morning, it's a real concern. Mm. I did on Saturday a couple of weeks ago when you were messaging me at 5 a.m. saying, wake up, big story.
Yes. Sunday morning.
Sunday morning, was it? Okay.
Sunday morning?
Yes.
It was a Sunday morning about a week, 2 weeks ago.
There's stuff going on. Quite often I don't find myself sleeping that well. Like after I've done a column, even if I've checked it 100 times, I never sleep that easily on a Saturday.
You don't
night.
Sleep easily.
I know,
anyway.
But even worse.
You don't sleep.
Like I drop it from maybe 4.5 hours to 2.5. You know, like I'm that you know, I'm never sleeping that well. Because you always want to, when you're writing sometimes a controversial piece, there's always going to be a reaction.
Of course, yeah.
We're going to get to David Fifita in a moment, a bit about the Roosters and Gus fighting the NRL sanction with Dennis Denudo, I think is his lawyer that he ended up finding. Just quickly to tie this one up about South, because we started with it about Chammy's epic article.
Can you stop wrapping the article?
Jason Demetriou went to, he's coming into the Triple M building, so he's going to be part of that. Looking forward to his insights. I think on Thursday night is his first one. What's left there at South is the fact that Wayne Bennett, are we pretty much assuming that he's going to be there or we know he's going to be there?
I think we'd be shocked if he wasn't there, put it that way.
Okay.
That's the fear. I mean, look, with Wayne, nothing is ever straightforward. I mean, ask Nick Politis back in the day when he thought he had him at the Roosters, handshake deal, never happened, right? So you just, until he's turning up at Maroubra, you know, walking through those doors, but you'd think that it's going to happen. The interesting part at the moment with the Bennett stuff is the length of term. Now, the common thought is he wants 3 years. Souths, when I asked him, they said they told him he's going to be 3+ whoever they sign.
Mm.
The longer they sign Bennett for, the further it puts Sam Burgess into the background.
Yeah.
And Burgess is going to extend his time with Warrington, I think only by a year. Eventually it's got to line up so that he can come back. I don't know if everyone wants Sam Burgess back at South. So
you know they don't.
Hmm. Well, I don't know that.
When you say everyone, you say there's a split on the board?
Well, I think.
Or management?
Probably a bit of both. I think that's probably a fair way to say it. Look, I think Sam Burgess should be back there coaching when Wayne finishes. But there's going to have to be some negotiations or bridges mended because I don't think everything's comfortable.
How can you say that he should be back? Like he's coached 8 or 9 games. Like I don't think he has a right to that job because of what he's done.
No, he doesn't have a right to it, but I think he's going to do well in England. And I think
if he does well in England, he should be in the mix.
Yeah, and
but
I think
it's too early.
after three, we're talking 3 years plus down the track. I know,
but how do you make it? South Sydney cannot lock themselves into a succession plan involving Sam Burgess without having seen more from Sam over the next 12
months.
Well,
he's got off to a good start.
Yeah, it's got off to a good start, but is that enough to appoint a guy into a head coaching role
He's not going to be appointed now.
No, I know, but I think they appointed Jason Demetrio when Wayne Bennett was starting. Mm. If this is going to be a succession plan here with Wayne Bennett followed up by Sam Burgess, they need to see more from Sam before making that commitment.
That's absolutely fair enough. Have you heard the same sort of thing as I've heard about the length of term? And
yeah, I don't think there is a desire for Sam Burgess to come back. The club is wants to be respectful in this way because he is a legend of the club and he bled for that club and he is rightly held in a very high regard from many people involved and watch that football club. Do the people in charge want to welcome him back with open arms though? No, I don't think so.
Now, there are other clubs watching this too. And they're watching what Sam Burgess does. So everyone thinks it's a given that Sam walks back into South one day. If he coaches well,
I reckon
there'll be other clubs who will look at him and go, well, this is a sort of big, strong, well-respected leader that we would like at our club.
Just one thing about Sam as well, I don't know where it sits, and it will come up when he comes back to the NRL as a coach, is about what happened off-field with him just after he retired, in between the time between now and when he got into coaching back with South, and let's just say his life wasn't full of stability away in his private life.
I think, without dipping too heavily into that private life, he did have some problems, but some of the media surrounding Sam Burgess, I don't think any of that was ever, did it ever get stood up? Like, did anyone ever say, well, that was 100% right, what was said about Sam Burgess?
Yeah.
I don't think it was. Was he? I can't remember, Chammy. Was he ever told he wasn't welcome back into the game?
No, he coached at South Sydney,
and there were some heavy accusations made against him.
Yeah,
Sam knows where that was coming from, why it was coming at him, and I don't know whether any of it was, how much of it, or any of it, was ever considered to be held against him by the NRL.
Okay.
The only one it'll really affect is South, because the people at South Sydney sort of have a good understanding of what went down. The other clubs wouldn't have an understanding of what really happened. And
the bigger issue for
he was
Sam,
able to come back and be an assistant coach last year anyway. So that horse has bolted. He's been given the tick of approval, and if he's good enough, he'll come back to the NRL. And he strikes me as the kind of guy you'd love to be coached by.
And Chammy, the bigger issue for him was his exit and his relationships within South Sydney.
I don't think he can come back and coach Cody Walker and Latrell Mitchell.
Well, we're talking a few years down the track.
Exactly.
Cody won't, I can't see Cody playing in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Latrell, he may or may not be at South by then.
David Fifita, any idea where he's going to be?
We've got to be careful what we say here, because by the time
as we sit here right now.
What time is it?
Okay.
He's got offers 10:38 from
10:38 on Wednesday, 8th of May.
He's got offers from Rooster, Panther, Dragon.
You've gone Gus on us.
Or Dargan.
He's dropping the S's.
Well, it's hanging around you because you do it. And then anyway. So Roosters, Panthers, Dragons apparently in. Titans would love to keep him, but the deadline is looming.
Dragons are not in? No.
Why do the Dragons get thrown in with everybody?
I think someone made a phone call to the Dragons saying, would you be interested? Yes, but the horse, they didn't realise that the Panthers and Roosters were in the point of
making
offers.
Surely they should realise that, shouldn't they?
Yeah. Because if he wants to leave the Titans, he ain't going to go to the Dragons, is he? If he's leaving the Titans on the basis of I want to win a premiership, he's speaking to the Roosters and he's speaking to the Panthers.
Mm.
I'm a Dragons fan. I'd love to have been in that conversation, but I can understand why the manager isn't knocking down the door.
You would like to have been doing the conversations for the Dragons in negotiations?
Yeah. No, I'd like to be in a position
I want to make that clear that you're not bidding for the Dragons somewhere.
No.
GM Chammy, cap, you want to talk about this, not the one you got in your head, the lovely golf cap.
Yeah.
The one about surrounding David Fifita and what he's contractually expected to cop this year and what he might cop in a new deal with a better team in their premiership window. He can't take a huge cut, can he?
Well, I heard Gordon Tallis talking about it on 360 the other night about how can they allow him to leave a club where he's on significant money. Now, my understanding of the contract with the Titans is he's on $950 this year, $975 next year, $1 million the year after if he takes up the option. Now, the argument is how can he be allowed by the NRL to sign a deal with Penrith worth $850? And my understanding, the Roosters offer is $800 a season. Penrith 3 years, Roosters 4 years.
Sliding scale up with both?
I think there might be a car with the Roosters. So there are other things.
City Ford says yes more often.
No, like a registered car. They're allowed to give players cars. I think it's five players are allowed to be given cars at each club.
I hope it's a good one. Sydney traffic for old Dave. Oh, mind you, Gold Coast is an absolute minefield when it comes to getting
Frizzell's up at the Gold Coast.
I'm talking about the actual quality of the roads and trying to get around this bloody city. Anyway, carry on.
The NRL will then conduct, and the good clubs, they do their due diligence before they make an offer. And I'd like to think Penrith have gone out there and made an offer of what they think will be the absolute minimum required for the NRL to give them the stamp of approval.
Which you reckon would be?
$850 to $875.
Didn't we have this argument recently?
Lomax,
and then before that was Fanua Blake as well.
Gus was saying that how can you just end one deal and sign him up at a lesser amount?
But the difference is, though, he doesn't have a deal for next year.
Who?
For Fifita. Technically, he doesn't have a registered contract for next year.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't taken up the option. So if on Thursday night, by 8 o'clock on Thursday, if he hasn't taken up the option at the Gold Coast Titans.
He's a free agent.
He has no contract in place for 2025. The difference with Lomax and Fanua Blake, Danny, is they both had contracts in place.
Could the NRL look at what was there for him from the Gold Coast and say, well, they were willing to give him $975 million. Why shouldn't the next club have to do that as well?
Well, then that's going to come down to what the NRL determined David Fifita's market value to be. My understanding is it's going to be north of $850. I don't think it'll be at $975 to a million, but it might be somewhere in between. Now, this is the difficult part most people don't understand, though. Is just because, let's say the NRL hypothetically value him at 900.
Yep.
The Panthers then say, we're going to give you 850. They can still pay him 850. But in the salary cap, what will happen is he will go down as 900. Okay.
So why not just pay him the...
Well, they could. That's still 50 grand in their pocket the Panthers don't want to give away.
Mm.
That's going to be the determination now the NRL have to make is what is that value? What I don't like about this system is Penrith and the Roosters won't know what that value is until after they've signed him.
Mm.
It really makes it hard for them to sign him because they may agree to a deal at 850 and the NRL turns around and says it's 900.
Who's setting these valuations at the NRL?
The salary cap auditor. Okay. The salary cap auditor based on market value, based on spreadsheets, based on what they can see players are getting paid in those positions.
That sounds like a role for the person with the highest IQ in terms of coaching, development, player ability. In the entire world of rugby league, they have that all available to them.
They know that if they go through, let's say David Fifita is a top five second rower in the game. Yes,
yeah.
They know what all the second rowers are earning. They know what the top five average is. They work it out based on that. They work it out based on what other clubs have done in the past, and they make a determination.
The problem with that is though that everything gets inflated by teams who are chasing success because they're going like busters. Like you think of what the Bulldogs have done in terms of attracting players to their club in the last couple of years. They're paying overs for what the player might be worth. So the market on that basis is inflated.
It is.
By mediocrity rather than excellence.
Which will be taken into consideration because the Titans, who were desperate to keep him, offered him more than what his incumbent club was to get him there. So look at Jack Whiten last year.
He went for less
because they said he wants to win a premiership. We're going to use him as a center, whereas the Raiders were offering him 5'8" money.
Mm.
I think they're overcooking it in terms of valuations and everything. Just let the market decide. If a team wants to go nuts on a player overs, or a team conversely, and you see it in other sports around the world, heaps of sports people take pay cuts chasing success.
What they're trying to stop, let though, them do that. What they're trying to stop though, Adam, is, and I'm not naming clubs. He's on 975. Hey, you come to our club, we'll give you 600, but under the table, we'll give you another 300. Don't worry, we'll make it worth your while. So what the NRL is trying to do then is to
take the temptation away from
clubs and saying, look, we're not going to allow you to consider that option because regardless of what you're going to offer him, we're going to set a value here on what he's worth, which was what the NRL did when Sonny Bill came back to the NRL at the second time. They said, I think it was 250. They said, there's X amount of games left in the season. We think he's worth $250,000. He will not go in your salary cap at less than that.
Mm.
Mm.
You pay him what you want.
Yeah. There's surely ways, though, of finding under-the-table payments these days a lot easier than back in the day when it was done at the casino with, like, chips playing blackjack. It's a different way of doing it,
but
surely.
When it goes in the cap at that amount, they say that's transparency.
That's right. What I think is the difficult situation, and I don't know how the NRL will address it, they need to be in a position, if the Roosters and Panthers go to them in the middle of negotiations, say, I need to know what David Fifita is going to be valued at before I sign him. Because really, if I'm Penrith, I'm putting a clause in there saying, yep, we agree into this contract,
yeah,
subject to valuation. That gives us the second opportunity. What if he's valued $1 million?
Yeah.
Suddenly Penrith turn around and say, well, or the Roosters and say, well, he's not worth that to us.
And you've got 200 grand sitting there that's not being used, but it's taking your cap
space.
Can
they have those conversations, though, with the salary cap auditor and say, this is where we're at?
My understanding is that those conversations have been happening.
Yeah, I feel like that's what clubs do. They can do that. They can talk to the...
But that may change, though, Danny. There is not a set figure in place right now on Fifita.
Mm.
The same thing happened with Zach Lomax. That's the argument with Zach Lomax and the Eels. And they're saying, well, we want to pay him $650,000, $700,000. Are you going to value him at $850,000? Because if you're going to value him at $850,000, we don't want him.
Mm. Well, what we do know is that as we sit here right now, we don't know what jersey David Fifita will be wearing next season, but it's looking ever less likely that it'll be a Titans one.
So. I don't think he'll be at the Titans.
The word was that his manager, I thought his manager flew up last night, but some people are saying he flew up today. Because David has been really struggling to make up his mind. I've been speaking to people on the Gold Coast, and they're saying they've been asking for an answer. And as of last night, I haven't heard from today, they were saying he's undecided, but maybe that's moved on already. So maybe he's realised that he can't be there. So
this notion that the Roosters are just suddenly coming.
Nah. Nah.
It's laughable. Rubbish. Like the Roosters are just suddenly Penrith have made an offer, so we'll come and make an offer, please. The Roosters don't work that way.
Well. Nah. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he had dinner at Robbo's house. Like I put that to Trent Robinson, which is a way they like to operate. That Robbo wines and dines. Lunch, okay. Well, there you go. Something happened there, and to Trent Robinson's credit, he didn't come out and say that's not correct. He just said, I'm not going to go into any details.
The Roosters don't just stumble across a plate.
Nah.
The Roosters are looking okay, actually, to finish fifth this season. Ever since I said that.
They've scored 100 points.
Look like the Harlem Globetrotters. Anyone else you want to pump up and I'll deride them?
In the words of Philip Ronald Gould, you are stupid.
Oh, dear. Your Roosters looking okay at the moment, but a lot can change. They get Spencer Lenu back this weekend. And, it's the first time since 2019, apparently, that they'll field a full-strength team, which means they can only go one way. That's
really? No, I didn't know that. That's a good stat.
Is Billy Smith play?
Yeah. No, is Billy Smith available? No. Maybe he's not in their best 17, Danny.
Well, it's around the mark. It's a pretty good side at the moment. Okay. And the way that the players are playing.
You just made up that stat, didn't you?
No, it was on the sheet here. Producer Sam put it in.
Producer Sam made up that stat then.
I'll go have a word. We'll take a breather. Back in a sec. Gus Gould fined $20,000, gentlemen, for destructive comments, allegedly. Called the NRL and rules stupid 5 times on 100% footy last week, allegedly. It's going to happen to Gus. He's going to be out of pocket this weekend.
Let's ask his lawyer. Danny, what's going to happen to Gus?
I think, isn't it Rami Katani's his lawyer?
Is it?
I believe so. There you go. But look, Gus is determined to take this on.
Yes. Fighting for the people.
He's the people's champion. When you look at the comments, people like to kick Gus, right? They get great pleasure. Michael likes to do it for a hobby.
I don't like kicking Gus.
Well, it seems to be.
It's fair to say the nickname you gave me, Mosquito, is a description of what I am to him. Just niggle away, just annoy
him. Biting him, smoking him. Yeah.
That's right. You're not
the attack dogs like that. But anyway, if you look at the response to what he said, the online comments, whatever, I mean, I know that's not the absolute barometer of everything, but. I'd say 98% at least are backing what Gus has said. So the NRL, and that would annoy the hell out of the NRL because they look at that stuff.
Mm.
Believe me, they look at that stuff. And that would be going, oh, why? I don't understand why they've picked this hill to die on with Gus.
Is it, though, the language that he used or
it's the language.
What he was describing?
Stupid game, I guess, has annoyed them. And has he said word? I think he's said a lot worse. I think there's more to it. I think that obviously clubs are agitating in the background about what Gus does, what he says, all that, and that's been going on for a while. But I think that Gus has been making the point in his own way in recent weeks. He's been saying, where do these rules come from? Who has the ability to change these rules? Which coaches are the ones who have the ability to sway rules? Yeah. And who's got the ear of the right people? And that's the point he's been making. And I think
does he know the answer? Because Gus is a very intelligent person.
But the point is that he doesn't have the ear of Peter Valandis anymore. Those two aren't best friends, are they?
Right. I don't know.
Is that the point you're making?
No, I'm just saying he thinks that some people It's a point well, you're
he's,
making.
He's beating around the bush.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that
yes,
he believes clearly that some people can have influence.
Some people have influence on some people. Name names.
Well, some people. I don't know who speaks to Volandis.
Who do you?
Who speaks to him?
I don't know, mate. You're okay. Telling the story.
Well, okay. So someone like Wayne Bennett and Volandis are close, right?
Okay.
I don't know whether Wayne wants rules changed. I don't know. Ricky Stewart and Peter Volandis are close. I don't know whether Gus thinks he has info. I don't know. But I'm saying that certain coaches probably have a sway with certain people around the game, and I think that's the point he's making.
Well, I mean,
and I think that's what annoys the NRL more than being called stupid.
I was sitting there next to him when he was doing it. I was having a good old laugh.
Oh, you didn't comment on anything I just said. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. Well, I don't know. I don't speak to Gus. I don't know what he's thinking. Well, you have a better insight into
how
he's feeling.
No, but in terms of how rules get changed and, you know, influence in the game.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. There is an element of who you know in this game, but it's always been that way. And no one knows that more than Gus. It's worked to his advantage for so long over many, many years where he's been the guy in people's ear who has influence. So I don't think he has a right to be annoyed by that, but I don't think he should have been fined for that incident. No, I'm completely...
It's the wrong incident to fine him.
I agree. I actually thought it was good theatre. As I said, I was sitting there. I was laughing. I passed him a bottle of water for him to calm down. He thought it was a prop and he started using it to show us that Appy Coruscant didn't drop the ball. So
a lot of it was theatre.
He threw the... Yeah, it was theatre. And what I have an issue with, and you know this, because last year he took umbrage with a story that I wrote in regards to clubs raising concerns with his ability to use his platform on Channel 9.
Was that around a Canterbury issue?
That was, and that's where I think there is a fine line. When he went out there and he criticised the NRL or the referees over a Jacob Preston hip drop on Good Friday and tried to influence the judiciary or the match review committee, this is the NRL and the rival club's views that he tried to influence it using his platform, then I can understand clubs saying, well, hang on a second, we don't have this platform to try and defend our players. Our coaches get fined if they mention anything or they try to discuss it in a post-match press conference. Why is the general manager of a football club being allowed to get away with it? I can understand why the NRL then went to sit to the Bulldogs and said, guys, we can't have this. We are officially warning you on this situation. Yeah. I know he's great for television and he's polarizing and he makes it really entertaining for Channel 9, but he needs to bite his tongue with some incidents.
So maybe that was the one they probably should have gone hard on.
Well, that was the warning shot. Then there's been a few other little jabs over the last 12 to 18 months where they thought, you know what? And the clubs there, they're being the barking in the background.
How many clubs are barking? You know.
A few. He blamed me for that last year. He thought I just made
that up.
That's
fair enough.
But it wasn't. It was a reflection of the clubs going to the NRL. It wasn't just me out to get him.
I'd rather blame you.
I've stayed out of this one.
Let's blame you, Chammy.
Well, but blame me. That's fine. I copped it. I copped it last year when he blamed me.
Good.
But I think it's valid when clubs are raising concerns, when he is having influence over things or pushing agendas that are going to impact on his club. This wasn't one of them.
Nah.
This was just the guy on television with a lot of power and a lot of clout saying, where we're going as a game is just plain old stupid.
There you go. We'll wait and see what happens. When's it going to be decided?
I believe he's got an extension on it. So
okay. Yeah. Extension on his homework to put all his case forward.
Yep.
The Dragons. How'd they get that spelling wrong on Jack Bird's?
Look, I make spelling mistakes. I can't bag it too badly.
Your phone
on my phone.
Doing a 1,500-word article on your phone. You clown.
I don't know how this happens. And I think they made a mistake with another jumper too.
Farmanu Brown's debut was in June.
Yeah, they've had it in June. And it's not, is it what it now? We're in
May,
I think
it was in May. It was in some point in April or May.
So they got the month. They got the month wrong on that. I don't know who's doing the stitching on the jumpers, but...
Yeah.
Is this the same guy who signed the Ronald Volkman contract before checking? There's been a lot of paperwork and mistakes at the Dragons this year, unfortunately.
Geez. Look, it's a unique jersey for Jack, so he can look at it and go, yes, that's definitely it.
Did you reckon Jack realised?
Probably not.
He might have looked at it.
He was closely. Too busy playing the game. What's this story? Kyle Flanagan got player of the match. I can't believe they had one.
The Dragons,
in that Anzac Day match. But apparently he got it, and a few of the players are miffed. They got lapped by the Roosters.
Well, you looking at me. Look at Daddy. He's the one who put his boxing gloves on the weekend for his column.
Yeah.
I know that some players within the Dragons were surprised that Kyle got it, and that happened to get back to me. Well, look, the people who vote on the Dragons player of the match are the coach, Shane Flanagan, his dad.
Yeah.
And I think the assistants as well. So it's not just one person doing that.
Surely.
And it's not Kyle's fault that he got this award when they got beaten by 40. But clearly, what the bigger worry for the Dragons is that players are
talking to you,
talking well, possibly, yeah.
Mm.
Don't you think? I mean, yep. And happy to. I mean, this is the coach's son.
Yeah,
you know,
if things are leaking out, like Chammy and his South story earlier in the year.
It's
when
not.
He had
it's not
what, details of a team meeting.
Yeah, it's not what the Dragons
knew
probably want out there, right?
Nope.
And when it comes to the coach and his son, that's obviously a delicate. I mean, Kyle was the.
I was there though, Danny. I was sitting there on the sideline for Triple M watching that game. He actually made quite a few decent tackles on Joey Manu. Like, I know, mate, it was they threw him into the centres to defend when Moses Suli went down in the first second of the game. I'm not saying he should have been man of the match, but like.
He missed seven tackles.
Yeah, but mate, they drew a lot of traffic.
He had all the traffic.
He did have 60 points put against them. Like, I'm not saying. I am concerned as a. I would be concerned if I'm Shane Flanagan. And I think there is a growing feeling, and no one wants to say this to Shane Flanagan, but there is a growing feeling that as a club, they should be looking to strengthen that position.
I think Shane would know that, wouldn't he?
Here's the thing, though. Full stop. If you get beat by 30 or more, you don't have a man of the match.
Yeah, I wouldn't be doing that either.
Be lauding.
Like you just, you put
because
that
that's what's
once.
Made it worse. If they had if they had a valiant defeat, they got beaten by four on the bell, no problem.
They got lapped.
But they got absolutely destroyed.
Have you heard from Flano?
No. Mm. No.
What?
I don't think you were picking up your phone call anytime soon.
Well, it's the truth, though. It's what happened.
Ooh. Chammy.
He dropped a few truth bombs on Sunday, held Danny Widler in his son Errol column.
Yeah. What was the fallout from that? You led heavy on the Paul Kent one. And I did notice on the I don't know if they just did that or you instructed the digital person to say, can you leave it as the number one most read story on the website for that day? But I did check it on, I think it was Sunday night. I was like, oh, it's still
it
number one.
Off. I checked the numbers. It went off.
Mm. I don't check the numbers.
Yeah, clearly. Please. You use your phone to type out a story.
You don't check. You don't go in there with your numbers.
I don't know how to check the numbers.
You're leaving some money on the table then.
Look, it was a story that I think it had to be written, and I know why News Corp aren't writing anything about it. That's absolutely fair enough. I get all that. We had to write something about the Paul Kent situation, and I did. I tried to speak to Paul about it to give him his side of things. I know that he got bounced by Channel 7 going into his home during the week where he promised there's going to be a twist in the tale.
There are certain things in life that are guarantees, and like I can only put them on like one hand, like the sun coming up in the east, the sun going down in the west, and Paul Kent not answering your phone call.
But I'm still going to ring him and text him.
Did you call him?
Yeah, I rang him and texted him. Over the last week, I've done it. I can't remember if I called him or texted him, but I've definitely got quite a few. You know when you get the row of greens on your phone when someone's not – I've got a long row of
– Yeah.
Same with Steve Crawley as well.
Is it saying delivered or not?
Oh.
No, it would be. It'd be.
You should start sending them on WhatsApp to see if they've read them or not.
But anyway, you've got.
Okay, can you do that, can you?
You've got nothing back.
I'll download WhatsApp for you.
What you're saying is that there's an interest in this story.
Well, I guess so. I wrote it because it was a story, not because it was a
rivalry.
To get a click or anything. But I also tried to contact Steve Crawley about it, the boss there, wanted nothing to do with it. And the only reply I got back was from one of the PR people at Fox or News or whatever saying that this is not reflective of the culture of what goes on at Fox. And I take that as a fact because I don't work there.
Well, I worked there for 15 years.
Yeah.
And what happened with Paul Kent, I can't remember happening
at all with any staff. That was the main point they made. And I asked him a bunch of other questions and they didn't answer those. So anyway, you have to do it. So.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, just one last one. Chammy, you've got an idea. You've had a bright idea.
Can I
leave now?
Yeah. It's actually... Danny, I'd hate to say, it's a pretty good idea. Now you've explained it on 100% footy.
I've heard his theories.
You've explained it on Triple M. You want this to come in to be called the Chammy rule. It's like Andrew Voss with his corner post,
which
he banged on about on what was it? Sunday roast?
Sunday roast.
Geez, that was a funny show. Yeah.
Was that with Gus and Vossy?
Yeah. Gus always used to sit there and just look at him when Vossy found some obscure highlight.
Find an obscure thing, Vossy.
Gus would just go, "You're a strange man," but. He finally got it through, and now look at the effect it's had on the game.
It's great.
You've got these highlight reel moments all the time. Andrew Voss, again, we salute you. However, Chammy, you've come up with it. I don't know if people are going to salute you and
they
have ticker tape
parades. They're saluting me.
Six-man interchange, but a bit like as in round ball football, you don't have every player sitting on that bench who's going to see minutes.
Yeah.
You've got a selection of players that you can pick for what you need in any given moment. I don't mind it, Chammy.
Well, it was after the Moses Sully incident on Anzac Day where he was ruled out in the first minute of the game.
Poor Kyle Flanagan had to go to the centres and make tackles.
Yeah, where he won man of the match with the Dragons. I just think there's an opportunity for the game, especially with so many concussions and players being forced off the field. And I think we've seen it more than ever, games being ruined by an inability to react on the bench. We saw Origin last year ruined when Tom Trbojevic came from the field and poor old Damien Cook was put into the centres. I know you're going to say, well, that's on the coach. Well, yes, it is on the coach, but wouldn't it be better if we actually had an ability as a football team then to make relevant changes?
Well, Cookie ended up at fullback for South the other night.
Well, that's right. And what's centres? Kyle Flanagan ended up in the centres. Kalen Ponga went off early in a game. I think Reece Walsh, when Taylan May hit him in the head, he had to go off. That game was gone. I think having the ability to pick players to counter injuries or concussions, it just makes the game a better spectacle because you can also then
It's got absolute relevance because of the concussions, I reckon.
Because, these rules.
Injuries.
Think about it. 17 locked-in players were brought in before concussion rules became so strict.
And injuries have happened forever, right? Like, but the concussion thing is a new thing, so it's probably worth adapting to.
You can even blood young guys that you wouldn't. Like, for example, Jai Gray wasn't getting a run at the start of the season for South Sydney. But everyone was saying how exciting he was. And now South Sydney weren't in very many close games. But imagine with 10 minutes to go, you're down by 10. As a coach, you've kept the sub up your sleeve. And you know what? Jai Gray, you get on. Hmm. Try and chase some points. At least you have the ability to do so. It becomes more tactical. I think you can argue that it's less tactical because...
No, it's tactical. It's more tactical.
It is.
It is.
It is.
It isn't less tactical because then you've got choices to make about, okay, this game's going this way. We need this as opposed to that.
Yeah, you might want to put on a defensive player. You might be someone who's going to tighten up the middle of the field. It all hinges on the way you play. And then I think it actually what the NRL want to do is try and increase the fatigue to allow the small man into the game. I think clubs will be less willing to make subs early because they don't know which way the game's going to go. Therefore, it creates more fatigue in the contest and allows players then play the little guy into the game more often.
What are the rule makers saying?
Rang Peter Vlandis. He said, don't call me on the podcast. But I said, can I call you on the pod? He said, no, don't call me.
Have you officially been banned?
He said, I'm turning my phone off during 10:30 and 11:30. But I did ring him.
It's a chamois hour.
And he tried to shoot at the Ash straight away because naturally he doesn't like me having any good ideas. He said, what about this? His natural position was, you're an idiot.
Yeah. Which, he's got perceived bias.
There's your headline.
So he said to me, well,
you're an idiot.
His first reaction was, well, no, it's gone. It's out the window. He said, what about the extra $1 million we have to spend on sending 19 players to every game? I said, Peter, you send 19 players every game anyway. There's an 18th man, a 19th man. So victory number one to me. Then he said, okay, well, what about the New South Wales Cup situation, which is a very good, the lower grades. What if you're sitting there playing?
I like how the chairman of the game can offer these things straight back at you. He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, he knows what he's talking about. When you were talking earlier about people with influence.
You're the person with influence.
I've got his ear. I can make changes, which is why I'm going down this path.
Maybe Gus needs to start calling you.
Oh, I doubt that's going to happen.
That's where he's going. Wrong. Just calling you instead.
That's not going to happen.
But then it ended up with Peter Vlandis saying, you know what? You can say that this is not a harebrained idea like you normally have. So
there you go. Something.
He's in.
Progress.
So I'll be there.
He takes it as he's in.
Yeah. I'm in. Well, of course I'm in. I think it's going to happen. In the off season, we're going to get it done, boys.
Yeah, we're going to call it Chammy's six pack on the bench.
I like
that. No one's ever said that in my household.
I love that.
No, and never will either. Look at you.
I love that.
Gentlemen. That's it for Geno's edition this week.
No, it says on the future headlines.
Oh, future headlines.
Oh, I haven't thought about that.
He never has one.
I actually have one.
Okay, go.
I think Latrell Mitchell's going to be the headline next week.
In a positive way?
Yeah, in a positive way.
Okay.
I think Latrell Mitchell, 3 weeks off, back against the Dragons, I think he's going to be on.
I think
he's going to repay South Sydney. And I think we'll be talking about Latrell Mitchell. How do we get him into the Origin team?
We almost spent a whole episode without Origin, didn't we?
Yep. Good. Next week.
Are you not with me on that future headline?
I'm happy for you to have your future headline.
You don't have a headline?
No, I don't. I don't think in the future. I'm just happy to be in the now.
Mate, I'll tell you what, you're the past.
Have a good week, everyone.